Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Friday, April 1st. Happy April, everyone. This year, the month contains all three of the religious holidays, Easter, Passover, and Ramadan. Ramadan comes first, according to Al Jazeera. I thought it was today, but they say the beginning of Ramadan is determined by the sighting of the new moon. And Al Jazeera says Saudi Arabia and other Muslim-majority countries rely on the testimonies of moonsighters. So the first day of fasting for the holy month of Ramadan is most likely going to be tomorrow, Saturday, April 2nd, says Al Jazeera. And if you're a Muslim, you might say Inshallah at the end of that sentence. Inshallah, because it means God willing. Maybe you've even heard non-Muslims using it, like when Joe Biden said it during the first presidential debate against Donald Trump, when Trump was responding to a question about his taxes, and moderator Chris Wallace asked this:
"Will you tell us how much you paid in federal income taxes in 2016 and 2017?
Millions of dollars.
You paid millions of dollars?
Millions of dollars.
So yes. Not 750.
Millions of dollars. And you'll get to see it. But let me just tell you.
Inshallah," said Joe Biden. And from what I understand, Muslims were pretty divided over whether President Biden was using that phrase correctly, and partly because it can be used in such a variety of ways. So just ahead of Ramadan, which it looks like begins tonight, so the first day of fasting is tomorrow, lest I confuse you about that, let's talk about the concept of Inshallah and what it means for Muslims. We'll open the phones, and how it can be used to inspire hope. Joining me now to discuss and take your calls is Abdullah Shihipar, writer and public health researcher based at Brown University. His article in the New York Times Magazine is titled, "Are Better Things Coming? Inshallah." Abdullah, professor, welcome to WNYC. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. It's nice to be here.
Abdullah, you write about how growing up, your family used the expression a lot. Can you tell us a few of the contexts in which you heard it?
Right. My mom's actually listening, so I better get this right.
So's mine. Yeah. Hi, Mom.
So basically, there are a number of ways to use it. So you can use it in terms of the mundane, like, Inshallah, I'm going to go to the store tomorrow. If someone says, oh, don't forget to drop off that check at the bank tomorrow, they'll say, yeah, Inshallah, I'll do it. So the mundane, but then also like when you have these sort of big goals. So Inshallah, I want to get into that university. Inshallah, I will ace that interview. Inshallah, like big, more significant life goals. So that's how it was used when I was growing up. It's like it really runs the gamut between the sort of daily and the mundane and things that you wouldn't really give much thought to, and the more like big, significant life events.
And your parents, I see, are Sri Lankan immigrants, so they speak Tamil and not Arabic. And yet, Inshallah was a big part of their vocabulary, as you say. Is that pretty common in your experience of Muslims who aren't from Arabic-speaking countries? Because it is an Arabic word, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's one of the beautiful things I find about the word, because the Muslims, obviously Islam is a huge religion, billion people. The Muslims span the globe in Asia, Europe, Africa, North America, South America, and everyone speaks a different language. But what I found beautiful about Inshallah is that like this word, it's universally known. Everyone knows it means God willing. Everyone who is in the faith knows the sort of context it's deployed in and the additional context it's deployed in. And it's beautiful because people have, you know, may speak different languages. You have this common term that can link people together. So if you're thinking about immigrant communities where people come in the United States, for instance, where people might come from different parts of the world, like West Africa or Indonesia or Sri Lanka in my case, you know, having this sort of common linkage of Inshallah, even if you don't speak the same languages, there is that, it does provide that sort of bridge, a sort of cultural bridge that allows people to relate to each other.
So the way Biden used it in that clip, right, it was in the debate against Trump on television during the presidential campaign, and Chris Wallace, the moderator, was asking Trump about whether the public would ever get to see his tax returns and how much he paid, and Trump said millions of dollars, and you'll get to see it, and you'll get to see it. And Biden said, when? Inshallah? Which doesn't exactly mean God willing, the way he used it, you know, like when God tells you to do it. So what did you think about the way he used it there?
I mean, I think there certainly is a sarcastic way of using it, but I want to, like, in terms of, it's not certainly the way we're told to use it in the religion. Like, people in the Middle East and North Africa and certainly some other Muslim majority countries, they will use it to sort of placate other people. Like, oh, are you coming to this wedding that, you know, you really don't want to go to? Oh, inshallah, we'll show up, right? So, but it's ultimately not something you would use for something you that you absolutely do not want to happen, right? So, like, if you were to go to the wedding, it's not the end of the world. It's still a party. So there's no harm in using inshallah. So in the terms of Joe Biden's deployment, like, culturally it's correct, religiously it's not. But still, like, inshallah, if Donald Trump showed his tax returns, that's something Joe Biden would have wanted, right? You wouldn't necessarily say, inshallah, like, I want to, like, injure my leg or something. I mean, I shouldn't say that. Oh, take that back. But you wouldn't necessarily say, use inshallah in a context where, you know, of something explicitly negative, right? Even if you're in sarcastic, you wouldn't say, well, inshallah, something this bad is going to happen to me. Because so even at that deployment, people have a understanding that this is a religious word and shouldn't be deployed so lightly for bad things.
Although you're right, these days this pious sense of optimism might be overshadowed by a more popular use. Inshallah has come to take on a somewhat cynical edge. So can you talk about that cynicism, that context for using inshallah?
Yeah, so again, it's like the sort of, like, the way of, it's used as sort of, in the cultural terms, it's used as sort of a response, right? A call and response to someone. It's always almost used in response to someone who is, you know, making a request or asking people to do something that you may not want to do. But, you know, in the end of at the end of the day, wouldn't be the end of the world if you did it. So then it's saying, like, yeah, inshallah, I'll show up to this. Yeah, inshallah, what'll happen? Oh, can I get a PS5? The parent would be like, yeah, okay, inshallah, you can have a PS5, or like, inshallah, you can have this thing that you really want. For me, I never use it like that. It's just like my parents didn't use it like that either, just growing up. So growing up, it's something that I encountered with other Muslims, but growing up, I used it clearly in the religious terms. And I think there's sort of a mixed usage now. And I think the religious usage is becoming more and more prominent as well.
Ahmad in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ahmad.
Yes, Brian. I love your show. I listen to your show every single day.
Thank you, sir.
The inshallah universal language now. And my colleagues, as you listen to them now, we say inshallah. We are different, very diverse religion and ethnic a group, we use it inshallah, and God willing. And that impact from the religious perspective, inshallah, you feel good. You don't feel guilty if you do something, you reach it, or you accomplish it, or not. But when you say inshallah, we leave it to Allah, the God, willing. So you're always happy. You're always, the outcome of what you want to do is you feeling okay. So I did my part and I'm okay. So inshallah terminology is beyond the word itself, you know, in belief system. Mm-hmm. And I just want to add also about the fasting Ramadan in public school. I work with I see 500 kids every single week, Muslim kids every single week. And I'm working with very close to them. And they fasting, seventh grader, sixth grader, fourth grader, they try to fast the whole day. We need to study the fasting impact in dietitian, spirituality, and the determination So the fasting in Ramadan, we need to learn from it for a larger segment of society.
Ahmad, thank you very much. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Call us again. On that last point that he made, Abdullah, do you want to comment on that? And you're a public health researcher at Brown, so fasting as age appropriate?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's certainly accommodations that should be made in terms of there's certain number of things to consider. It's not my necessarily specificity, but it's always good, you know, the time of the year. Fasting impacts on the body. It depends on when the month actually falls, because sometimes, you know, in the spring, it's a lot less than it is in the summer, and, you know, even less in the fall and the winter. And so I think, you know, from a practical consideration, I would certainly encourage like public schools to look into accommodations that they could give to students who are, you know, in the early upper years, because elementary students, like children who are younger, sometimes they'll do it as like, you know, I want to do it because I want, like, all the older kids are doing it and stuff. But usually we don't see children under 10 fasting. For middle school students, for high school students, where, you know, there is more of a religious obligation for them to start fasting, that's where, you know, I would encourage public school systems and teachers to be a little accommodating in terms of like scheduling things.
People who don't know, Ramadan moves through the whole year. So I guess a lot of people are happy when it's in the dead of winter, because you can eat once the sun goes down and the days are shorter. And I don't know, maybe the Muslim community is against this permanent daylight savings time, so it doesn't stay light later. Yeah, Hassan Ali in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Hassan Ali.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm originally from Haiti, born and raised. I moved to the States when I was 13, and I reverted back to Islam about 12 years ago. And growing up as a Haitian Protestant, we always say, you know, si Dieu veut, meaning God willing. Si Dieu veut is, you know, the way we use it, it's the same way inshallah is used. And we, as a native Creole speaker, and learning Arabic and understanding the root word and how it's translated, how it's passed down through different views of language and the construction of language, and also the way in which that we've been able to sort of co-opt it in our own language and change its meaning and still make it valuable in terms of spirituality. So there's a huge connection in terms of how it's used now in our native languages, Creole, and si Dieu veut, we always use it. Like, I'll see you tomorrow, right? When they say that, it's like we always add si Dieu veut in there. And it's not like, you know, speaking English, you say God willing after each sentence, right? So we use that very, very specifically to determine, because God is sort of like the commander of all affairs. So we don't command anything, so we have to live that will up to God. So that's why we always use it. Even in Creole, I knew that that had some sort of specific meaning to it, but when I reverted back to Islam, it started making more sense for me in terms of the connection to the supernaturalness of understanding what it means to will something, you know, that is ordained by God.
That's great, and I love the connection you make between that and the Creole. Thank you. And I think Elizabeth in Bergen County is going to make a connection between inshallah and a word in Spanish. Hi, Elizabeth. You're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Ojalá in Spanish, I believe, is the equivalent of inshallah, probably has a root in Arabic. And it's very positive. It's a, may it be so, God willing. Of course, Allah's in there. Ojalá, God's in there too. But it's a positive phrase, meaning I hope it's so. I hope it will be so.
And it's got a similar sound. And Elizabeth, thank you very much. Ojalá, I think spelled O-X-A-L-A. Ojalá, inshallah. Abdullah, I don't know if there's a relationship between the Spanish and the Arabic there, you know, if some version of the word started O-O-O-O-O-J-A-L-A. If a version of the word started in one of those two regions and migrated to the other and got adapted, that certainly happens in language. But that's an interestingly close word to mean the same thing.
Yeah, I've heard after publishing the essay in the New York Times, this is the word in Spanish is one I heard like repeatedly that, oh, yeah, well, like, we use it in Spanish too. We use Ojala in Spanish a lot. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if there is a connection because, you know, for a while, Muslims were in Spain for a while. It was like Spanish. Muslim rule in Spain. So it could be from there. And of course, there are lots of different connections between different languages. Certainly, it's something that I'm not aware about the specifics, mm-hmm. but it certainly sounds related and wouldn't surprise me if it is.
Papa Ibrahima in Greenwich. You're on WNYC. Hello, Papa Ibrahima.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. Hi to your host, to the person who you invited today. I'm a long time listener and a first-time caller. Thank you for taking my call once again. I am Muslim from Senegal. I would like to emphasize two aspects. The first thing is to give a shout-out to the national soccer team of Senegal that just got qualified to the World Cup. But just as your previous caller said, inshallah is a very strong commitment. It doesn't mean that you're saying inshallah when you're not sure. You're saying, I would like to do this, but God willing, because I'm a Muslim and everything is left to God's hands. I'm not sure what God would decide, but if God allows me, I would like to do this. It's not like saying only God knows, but it's more about I would like to do it. And like the previous caller say, we have also variances depending on where you are. Because me, I am originally from sub-Sahara Africa in Senegal. In my local tongue, my local language, which is Pular, we will say So'alla Jabi, or in the majority language that is spoken in Senegal, which is Wolof, people will say Suko Yalla Dogale, Masu Nehe Yal. So you will, going through the Muslim, Islamic or the Muslim Ummah, you will see versions of Inshallah, which in Arabic means it's God willing, like the previous caller say, you will have a version in Spanish, but you will also have a version in the countries depending on where you are. I will just end my call by saying that I'm wishing Ramadan Kareem, a great month of Ramadan to the whole Ummah and to the whole world. Once again, thank you so much for taking my call, and you've been doing a great work, and thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you so much, and that's very kind, and Ramadan Kareem to you too. And that's interesting, Abdullah. It's a little different use of the word inshallah, not so much as God willing or, yeah, okay, I'll go, like you were saying before, one of those two, but a commitment. Like God willing is like it's out of your hands, right? It's fate, God willing. And he's talking about it being more of a commitment, an intentionality on the part of the speaker.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when we say inshallah, we are putting it in God's hands. But there's this story, and I say it in the article, there's this story that the Prophet had come, peace be upon him, had come across this traveler who was tying, who had a camel, and he was about to go into a tent or somewhere. And the Prophet saw him not tying his camel. And he said, oh, why are you not tying your camel? And the guy said, well, you know, I trust in God. And, you know, so I trust that the camel will still be here. And the Prophet was like, no, you tie your camel and you trust in God, right? Islam does, the concept of free will is big in Islam, right? We believe in God's omnipresence. We believe that God ultimately determines what happens, but we also believe that that doesn't absolve humans of our choices and of our actions. And so while we say inshallah, we both recognize, it is both humbling and recognizing that there is only so much we can do, but also that we are required to do something, right? We can't just say inshallah and like just leave it up to God and say, I'm just going to sit here. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's kind of like a balance, as I said in the essay, between like human agency and humbleness before God.
One more call. Deborah in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. I am an Iraqi Jew who escaped out of Iraq in the 1970s, grew up speaking Arabic and Judeo-Arabic, which is a version of Arabic. We use the word inshallah all the time, and we still do, because the Aramaic and Christian, our Christian friends and Muslim friends, we all use it together in, with the same meaning, because they're all Aramaic faiths and believed in the same God. It always had a little bit of a hopeful tone to it. And you start with, God willing, we'll be able to do that. Or somebody says something, you say, yes, God willing, usually with some hope. So it was not, at least when I grew up in Iraq, it was not specific to Muslims. And with that, I'll wish Ramadan yes. Kareem to all our Muslim friends.
Thank you very much, and feel free to call us back when we do our Passover segment later in the month. And we will have to leave it there on this conversation about the word inshallah with our guest Abdullah Shihipar, writer and public health researcher based at Brown University. His article in the New York Times Magazine is titled, Are Better Things Coming? Inshallah. And so ditto to that, for better things coming, inshallah, and Ramadan Mubarak to you.
Yeah, Ramadan Mubarak.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.